when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
You know, being in IT, not wanting to take too much risk, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll buy, you know, one property per year over the next 2 or 3 years. And then, sure enough, when I started buying, I had three within 6 weeks, and I was thinking, wait a sec, this is going pretty quick.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode on Property Investory, we're chatting to mortgage lending specialist Zhi Tua on how he acquired the majority of his 25 properties within 2 years. We'll hear how his journey was out of necessity in creating a better life, and about the moment when tragic news turned into a valuable aha moment for him. Tua shares a bit about what he's done and his passion for helping others achieve their goals with property investing.
I am the director at MLS Finance. I'm a property investor, have been for quite a while now. Started the journey when I was in the corporate world. I was actually an IT professional by trade for the last 10-15 years. Started purchasing property, built up a sizable portfolio, and then decided I wanted to start my business in a related field, which was finance, that specializes for property investors.
That's great. It's it's very, very common. I've spoken to a lot of investors who come from IT as well, and I have to say I'm also from IT too.
I feel you, brother. It's a good industry to get in from IT, because as with IT, property investing, very rational, very about the numbers, and And I was a project manager back in the day, and it's a very similar process. You kind of focus on an outcome that you want to achieve. As with property, you want to build up a portfolio, whatever it is, get a passive income stream, and then you kind of you plan for that. And you execute a plan. So, I guess I was able to transfer those skills to be able to start the journey and go through a property journey that I'm still going through.
Fantastic. It's very, very similar to what I resonate with you so much, because it is pretty much a project, if you put it in a very simplistic terms. And if you've got those good skills, it's very much easily to... You can apply it pretty much anywhere in your life, whether it be property or...
Isn't every transaction a mini project in itself? You've got to get the finance, and B, you've got to find a property, and you've got to negotiate on it, and you've got to get it across the line, and get the finance across the line, and do your pest and building, and then. Get everything in order, all the contracts signed, and then settle on it, and then get it tenanted, and then there may be some work that needs to be done on it. So yeah, even every property within that journey is a mini project.
So what does a day in his life look like?
I come into the office. I might be seeing clients. Figuring out what they are looking to achieve with buying a property or refinancing a loan, getting some equity out, speaking to my team about how all the pipeline deals are going, speaking to clients about giving them an update on as to how their loans are tracking, if there are any issues, hopefully giving them good news, and following up with staff, sometimes lenders, business partners, referral partners. Finish up about anywhere from 7 o'clock to 8:30, 9 o'clock. Go home, have a late dinner. Sometimes jump onto the laptop again, finish up some paperwork, and crash around midnight. That's a standard day for me.
Despite the long hours, Chua is passionate about what he does and wouldn't have it any other way.
The property journey is something that has really helped me along. With my life, and it has made such a difference to my life. So, being able to help, my clients with it now, it's a real privilege. It's a busy time in the business as well. So, the long hours are kind of required. Hoping that it's not always going to be like this, and I trust that it's not always going to be like this. But sometimes when it's called for, you've just got to do the hard yards.
Just to get the things over the line. And I think that's important for any property deal, especially when you've got clients who really, really trust and rely on finance too. So it's...
Well, it's all time critical, isn't it? There's always a cooling off period. The deposits due, the finance formal approvals due before that. There's always a settlement date. The clients will be paying interest and penalties after that date. So, you're always running to a time frame, and there's always new clients that want to know what they can do with their portfolio. Can they make the next purchase? We're always running to a schedule. So and I'd have it no other way. It sort of keeps me ticking along as well, and it sort of pushes me out of bed every day and makes me do the long hours. So it's all part and parcel.
Growing up in Sydney, New South Wales, he discovered his passion for property investing while working in his first IT job.
Well, I was born in New Zealand, so don't hold that against me. I'm a Kiwi. I'm a Kiwi. I go for the All Blacks. I was born in Windy Wellington, or Wundy Wellington, as they call it over there, but came over here to Sydney when I was about 2 or 3 years old. Grew up in Cherrybrook, spent about 25 years of my life there, then got married and moved out from the parents' place, lived in a sort of couple of different areas like Campsie and West Ryde, and currently live in Ryde now.
You've done a little bit of investing at that point in time because you've moved on and so forth. Where did you go to school, and what did you study and those kind of things as well?
So I went to school at the local public school in Cherrybrook, and then went to high school in the city at Sydney Grammar, and studied both finance and computer science at the Uni of New South Wales. Got a grad role at the tax office in IT, and then just went down that path, as I said, for about 10 or so years. And then during that time, that was when I was kind of exposed to property investing, and I just thought, I'll dabble in it for a little bit. Gradually got into it, and got into it a lot bigger and faster than I thought I would. And then just realised that really was my passion and my life's calling. So decided to go down that path. And so I started. I built up a reasonable size portfolio within a short period of time, within a couple of years, and then decided that I wanted to do some broking part-time while I was at my IT job, and then did that for a little while, and then went out on my own, and I owned a Yellow Brick Road franchise for about 3 or so years, the franchise in Parramatta, And then more recently, we've just gone independent and now we're MLS Finance.
Although Chua's parents had an impact on him in terms of creating a stable future for himself, his interest in property came from elsewhere.
My parents' influence was really was quite profound. So on the one hand, growing up in a sort of semi-traditional Asian family, the values of kind of austerity and saving for the future and investing for the future, they were drilled in at a very, very early age. So, you know, it was kind of always with me to sort of always look at trying to be or working towards financial stability, financial security, even financial independence. Their idea of that was always, you know, go through school, get good grades, go through uni, get a degree, you know, work hard in your job, you know, get a good job, climb the corporate ladder. And that was very much their kind of view. And Mum has always been into shares. So, like, even to this day, she looks at, you know, she's 78 years old, and she still jumps on the laptop and looks at charts and all sorts of stuff around technical analysis. But, you know, I tried to sort of get into shares, and I just didn't resonate with me. Like, it just, you know, there's something about it that where, you know, you could buy a share, and then, you know, given one news event that the CEO resigns, or there's a scandal within the company or something, and all of a sudden the money that you put in could be worth half of what it was the day previous. So, like, it just and you know, the time taken to you know, continually research the market and news and stuff, it just didn't seem right to me. So when I sort of got into property because, you know, a few things happened in my own life that kind of forced me to look at wealth creation and investing a lot more seriously than I had in the years preceding. That gave me a bit of a push. And when I sort of looked at shares and managed funds and futures and options and all that kind of stuff, didn't really kind of resonate with me. But when I looked at property, that just seemed a lot more straightforward to me. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
The necessity of taking wealth creation more seriously was embedded in not being content with the life he was living.
It was kind of really at a dark point in my life. My wife and I were, as I said earlier, climbing the corporate ladder, and we were both working, pretty long hours. And my wife in particular, she was really unhappy in her job. Like, she had some issues with her manager at the time, and she just really didn't enjoy work, and she, you know, associated a lot of pain with work. She'd come home really upset every day, and she'd wake up in the morning dreading going to work, and like, we just found it wasn't really a sustainable way of living. And her preference was, I'd really like to have a family and not have to go back to work. And, you know, deep down I was thinking, that's nice, but how are we going to afford that? When it sort of went on for months, and even like a year or 2 years, and we were both sort of sticking it out in our jobs, and I was thinking, there must be a better way than this. And then at that point in time, I was kind of thinking, I've got to do something. I'd always been sort of semi-interested in investing, but that was really the push that I needed to really look into it seriously. So, that was the necessity that kind of drove it. So.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Twa's property investing journey.
It actually took about a 6 to 12 months of finding my feet before sort of, you know, charging ahead, because I was trying to figure out what kind of strategy that I'd take. So, you know, at the start, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this myself. I'm just going to find a suburb and then find a property and then buy it. Sounds straightforward, right?
The aha moment where everything fell into place for him.
At that point, the penny dropped and I was like, you know what, this strategy works.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shump and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, their strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. Having begun to look into property investments at that tipping point in life, Chua was able to build his portfolio very quickly.
Right now, we own and control 25 properties across our portfolio. So that's within, you know, my name, my wife's name, our family trust, and also our super fund as well. I went in all those years ago, fairly risk averse, you know, being in IT, not wanting to take too much risk. I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll buy, you know, one property per year over the next 2 or 3 years. And then, when I started buying, I had three within 6 weeks, and I was thinking, wait a sec, this is going pretty quick. But there are a few things that kind of made me believe that I was on the right track. And even though, you know, obviously with property you don't see the capital growth for a while, there are a couple of things that just sort of prompted me to think, I feel like we're on the right track. And then, I think we've bought about 10 or 12 in the first year. And then, it's probably about another 6 or 7 the year after that. So, things really kind of accelerated.
However, before making that final step to invest into his first property, it took months of difficult planning and researching.
Contrary to what I was saying, it actually took about a 6 to 12 months of finding my feet before sort of, you know, charging ahead, because I was trying to figure out what kind of strategy that I'd take. At the start, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do this myself. I'm just going to find a suburb and then find a property and then buy it. Sounds straightforward, right? And then I found like I was driving around weekend after weekend, suburb after suburb, not even able to pick a suburb that I wanted to buy in. Going to seminars and then going to expos and, you know, just trying to figure out, trying to educate myself as well, because I found that, trying to do it myself wasn't necessarily the most effective way. And then eventually came across a buyer's agency, and they helped me, you know, with the whole kind of education piece. And they helped me, you know, find an area and then purchase in that area.
His first foray into property investing came with a tragic element, placing one of his first investments in a negative light to the public eye.
Yeah, the first one was in Karama, which is in the south west of Sydney, sort of near Liverpool or Fairfield kind of way. And it was for about $180,000. The rent on it was $270 a week, and you know, it kind of, being a being somebody who grew up in Cherrybrook and being familiar with the sort of northwest style of you have a property that's worth $400,000 and it rents for $350 a week, like having a property that was in a different demographic, and the yield was so much higher. Now, I had a lot of doubts about it, but again, thankfully, the buyer's agency that I used was there to support me and give me all of their insight and assurances. And then I sort of, with a bit of trepidation, I just thought, I'll give it a try. And then had a couple of other, as I said, a couple of other transactions after that. But the penny really dropped when this particular buyer's agency asked me to buy in Mount Druitt, and I was like, am I sure I want to do that? Because Mount Druitt, I'm familiar with Sydney. I know it's a rougher part of Sydney. Are the prices ever going to go up? And then so I sort of decided to think. I said, okay, I'll get into it. I'll just bite the bullet, and they may be right. And then I exchanged the contracts. It was a couple of weeks out from settlement, and then there was a bit of a tragic story that happened at the time.
This tragic accident about a little girl was all over the news, and Twa noticed something familiar about the location.
It ended up being that she was murdered by her parents or step-parents. And really tragic story. And I was watching the news report one night, and I looked in the background of where the reporter was speaking, and it was actually in that building. It all happened in that building that I bought in. So I completely panicked. I just thought, this is crazy. It's a tragic story, but I've also just spent a lot of money buying in this place. It's probably going to go down. It's probably never going to get rented out. So I drove up to Mount Druitt, and sure enough, there was a police command out the front. There was all the police tape everywhere. There was a sea of flowers and teddy bears and people talking out the front. And I was just thinking, what have I done? What have I done? But sure enough, after it settled, there was a tenant that moved in, that took up the place and moved in, a week or two straight after that. And then at that point, the penny dropped, and I was like, this strategy works. If you're buying in a place that has solid fundamentals, that has strong demand for housing, whether it be owner occupied or for renting or for both, it has good infrastructure. It's got transport, schools, etc. It really doesn't matter what your own personal beliefs are about that particular area. It's the old adage of taking the emotion out of investing. So yeah, that's I guess those couple of properties really kind of made the penny drop for me and realize, wow, this property investment thing, it can work.
This also happened to be the moment where everything clicked and fell into place for Twa.
I think I needed that to really kind of trust in the strategy and the plan, as in, because let's face it, whenever you're buying a property, as obvious as it sounds, like you're shelling out a lot of money and you're sort of going into it with a bit of a leap of faith. So I think it was absolutely necessary that I had, that aha moment and, went from, because a lot of it is psychology, right? Like you're kind of, you're kind of grappling with your own fears or your own concerns or your, or experiences of the past or, hearing horror stories or else, you're being sold by someone who's supposedly had stellar moments. It's nothing like kind of experiencing it for yourself and having that that moment where you go, okay, it all makes sense to me, because it's one thing hearing about it or reading about it, or listening to it from another source. It's completely different when you sort of live it.
In terms of the location of his properties, he believes in diversifying his portfolio to avoid putting all his eggs in one basket.
Many of my properties are in Sydney and New South Wales. I'd say probably about two-thirds of them. I've got around about eight properties or so in Queensland, so kind of the greater Brisbane area, so like the Logan area and surrounds, the Ipswich area and surrounds. I've got a couple further up the Queensland coast. Within New South Wales, it's mainly kind of Western Sydney, so like Campbelltown, Liverpool, Parramatta kind of area, Mount Druitt area, so sort of the Greater West. And there's a few regional properties that I have, so I've got one in Moree, one in Albury area, Tamworth, Orange. So yeah, they're kind of a bit spread out, and I guess that was also kind of by design. I was clear from the start that you don't want to buy all in the same suburb, or just buy one block of 10 units and have all of your money sitting in that. It's fairly fairly clear that that may serve you really well, but what if it doesn't?
Troy's worst investing moment came when one of his property was set on fire, not once, but twice.
I had a pretty scary moment last year. I was actually overseas, and one of my staff called me and said, "I'm really, really sorry to spoil your trip, but one of your properties has burnt down." I was sort of in stunned silence for a little while, and I said, "Is anyone hurt?" And the answer was no. And then the next most, it was probably, one of the longest 10 seconds of my life. I kind of fumbled on my phone frantically just to make sure that my insurance policy was still in place. So, and thankfully it was. It was a strange story, because what happened was it appears like it was kind of tenant related, either the kids or an electrical something to do with an electrical fire, and it kind of burnt pretty much a lot of the house and a hole in the roof, we were sort of in the process of getting it all assessed, and what was going to be the damage, and then that in itself probably took about 6 months. So and part of the complication was this property was it was an older place, and it had fibro in it or asbestos in it, so it needed to be sort of treated with a bit more care. And then the insurance company was sort of in the process of getting it finalized, and then I get a call, like this is back in February, from the property manager saying, your property last night there was another fire. You must be kidding. So apparently some hoodlums or whoever it was sort of went around and saw that the property was kind of half burnt, and they just decided to finish the job. So so we sort of went through the whole process again, finally it's just only literally last month it's just been resolved, and the whole thing settled. So I'm sitting on a piece of land with a lot of charcoal on it. So if any of your listeners are interested in something like that, please get in touch.
Wow. So could that be turned into some potential development opportunity? Is that a great story that you could turn it into?
Oh, look, it's unlikely in this particular area. It's one of the regional properties that I have. It's you know, the demographics probably don't lend itself to a new development or anything.
So, inspired by Chua's property investing journey he has shared with us, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll discover how to apply his strategy.
When buying an investment, it's so important to get it right, because the flip side of getting it right can be that it can set you back significantly.
His success habits for property investing?
I think a strong savings mentality from that was instilled by my parents.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors, where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.